We want what God wants.
Yes. Amen.
And God is on the scene. Amen. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We want what God wants. All week long, I thought I knew what I was going to preach about. But God changed my heart and my mind last night. We went up to the funeral home. And I was standing in line waiting to talk to Brother Bill Cochran. And God spoke to me when I started talking to him. You know, we left the funeral home and we went down to get something to eat, and we went in, and I didn't have on a tie. I just had on a pair of khakis and a blue jacket. Kendra had on a pantsuit, and we come in. They said, "Boy, y'all are dressed up." You know how it is when you wear a tie to work and you don't normally wear one? They finally quit asking me at work, but they don't know me down there at Texas Roadhouse quite as well. They said, "Why are y'all so dressed up?" I said, "Well, we just came from a funeral home." You know, and we do that a lot because I'm a pastor's wife and he's a pastor. Well, I was saying we were at the funeral home waiting in line to talk to Brother Bill Cochran, and we walked up to the speak to him, and we was just waiting our turn. And I know he'd already talked to a lot of people, and you know how this is if you've been there. But he started talking about the blessing of life that he had with Miss Shirley. He started talking about how good of a woman she was and how her spirit was and how they would go and sing and she never complained, and how God blessed him to have her. And he kept reaching his hand like this. It was like he wanted to reach over and touch her, but he knew she had already made the crossing. Now, folks, I'm going to tell y'all what going to a funeral home does for me. It makes me want to preach.
Yes.
It does, okay? I'm standing there, and I'm trying to talk to him. Now, this is a man that I respect and I look up to. And I'm praying, "Lord, help me to say the right things," because he already knows. He knows where she's at. They've spent their whole life serving God. He said, "I prayed for a miracle." And he said, "I didn't get exactly what I wanted." Now, folks, she's 80 years old. They've been married 60 years. Served God as long as I know them. These are salt of the earth people. I said, "You got one because eternity is waiting on you and it's waiting on her."
Amen.
And for you and I as Christians, here's what I want us to understand. There's things about life that I don't like. There's things about this walk I don't like. I don't like giving up my friends. I don't like the way that things are affecting and changing and happening on this earth. But I'll tell you what I believe. I'm saved by the grace of God because of Jesus. And when I die, if it's next year and I don't even make my next birthday, whatever, I'm going to be with the Lord.
Amen.
If you live to be 70, 80, 100 years old, if you're saved, when you die, you make the cross and you go to be with God. Now, where are the rest of them going to be that don't know Jesus? Brother Jimmy just made a comment. Thank you for that testimony, brother. It was right on time. He said, "I'm not ashamed."
That's right.
You know, as I stood there, we're living in a time and a society today to where they want to mock you for being a Christian like never before in this country. But I'm not ashamed.
Amen.
That's what I want to preach about this morning. And the reason I say that is because as I stood there, I realized how important it is to keep telling the story. How important it is to keep telling people about Jesus, to keep standing, even if they mock you. And I want to read this scripture, Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 16, very familiar scripture. We will have quite a bit of scripture that I'll try to read going through this, but you think about this in the day and time that you're living in. You know, we're living in a day and time today to where when you go to college, and the truth is, folks, I mean, it's unless you go to a very, very conservative, and here's the problem with conservatism in America today. You know, you can be conservative doesn't mean you have to be legalistic. Because some of the colleges that are really conservative, they're so legalistic that I don't even want to go around them myself. But then you got colleges that are supposedly Christian, and when you look at the way the students live and the way they act, it ain't a whole lot different than the world. So here's the problem today. You can grow up, you can be taught about God, and you get to that age. Our youth, our children, need a foundation that's strong and that's solid, because when we send them out those doors, whatever they got, that's what they're going to have. And they got to have something that's enough that when they go to a secular school and they're sitting in front of a professor that wants to, rather than teach, here's what they want to do. They want to openly mock God. They want to mock the things of God. They want to give assignments that cause their students to actually challenge and question their own faith. They force them to write papers about evolution and why it's right. They force them to write papers basically about why God is not alive and why there is no God. You know, we're living in that time. We're living in times where politicians, and one openly said it last week, that the Christian community better get on board with the LGBT movement or else they're going to be left behind. I want to tell you something, folks. I'm not changing. I'm not going back. I'm not going a different way. And I'm not ashamed to say that I believe the Bible is true. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Now that's anybody. That's all, okay? To the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's the Jew and to the Gentile. Then in Romans chapter number 9 in verse number 33 it says, "As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Now, the scripture said that Jesus is a rock of offense. Those who believe in Christ, to some extent, some more than others, will be persecuted. You say, "Well, I don't want to be persecuted." Well, I'd rather be persecuted for being a Christian than to be able to be left alone living in this world without Christ. You know, I know people, you know people, I've experienced it to some extent, some of you have experienced it even more than I have, toward that simply because you're a Christian, there are people who target you, they target you at work, they try to make you look bad, they're mean to you, and you think, you ever thought, well, why in the world are they mistreating me? I'll tell you why sometimes. It's because there's something in them that they don't even know is in them that sees something in you. Remember, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There's a spirit world that's blinded to the minds of most people, even to the spiritual understanding of some, to where they don't understand that there's evil in this world that recognizes the good, and Satan hates you. Peter said that the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing these same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. This is a rock of offense to people. Why? And here's exactly why. Because people do not want to be told that what they're doing is wrong. They don't want to talk about sin. They don't want you to say that anything that I'm doing in my life is wrong. Let me alone. I don't want nothing to do with it. And if God has rules for me, I'm not going to listen to him. That's where we're at in America today. You know, without rules, where would I be? Now, and I'll just speak for myself today. I'll tell you something, folks. If it wasn't for God, I'd be in trouble. I'd be in trouble. My mouth would never stop running. My fist would never stop hitting, okay? Because I want to tell y'all something. God had to tame these things right here. He had to get a hold of them because, you know, I was talking to a guy yesterday. He said, you know, every now and then when you go hunting with dogs, he said, you'll get one. When you get to the place, it's got to bark and it's raring to go. But then you eventually have to leave it at home because it can't run like it used to. But it's still got the fire in it. Where would you be without God? Where would you be if God hadn't come into your life? I tell you where I'd be, Brother Tom. I'd be in trouble. But for the grace of God, there go I. Jesus is a rock of offense to this world. You know why they don't like this church when they ride up and down the roads? Because it represents something to them that tells them what they are doing is wrong. But I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I'm not ashamed to walk into a funeral home and walk up to a man and shake his hand and try to comfort him and just all of a sudden feel the Spirit of God move on me and say, this is why you need to preach, because people need to get saved, because everybody is going to stand in that place. I want to tell you something. If you ain't been to a funeral with one of your families, I've actually met people in their 30s, and they say, I've never had anybody that I love pass. I just say, you will. You will. And one day it's going to be real close to you. Then one day it's going to be you. See, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed of being a Christian. Scripture says, the Bible says, they were first called Christians at Antioch. Now, whether that was said to title them, to give them a label, which you and I as Christians, we have a label, or whether it was given to mock them, they were first called Christians at Antioch, and they were called Christians because they were recognized as being part of that group. Now, there's a whole classification of qualifications that made them called that, but I want to tell you something, folks. I'm not ashamed to be associated with Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to be one of those fundamentalist conservatives that believes the Bible is true, that believes that God hasn't changed. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not ashamed of that. I got an email from a guy one time that I worked with, and he was talking about a funeral of somebody in his family, and they didn't really have one. He said, you know, what do people do that don't have God? And I thought about it, and I can't help it. It troubled me. It troubled my heart. But today, in our society, you stand up and be a Christian, you're going to be the most rejected and most persecuted. My son's telling me about something that happened on the college campus. They had these libertarian group, and they were out there, and they were giving out brownies and cookies. Sounds great, right? Don't eat them, children. Don't eat them. Every one of them was laced with marijuana and PCP, and they were giving them out on the college campus, and they were there actually outlining our freedom, our liberty. You know what people say? I want to be free to do whatever I want to do. You can go to hell if you want to. But you can be saved by the grace of God if you'll accept Jesus. You can have the cleaner come into your life and make something out of you that you'd never be by yourself. I'm not ashamed of being a Christian. I'm not ashamed of following God. Now, I got saved because our preacher preached, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. But I remember going to church because my daddy said, you going to church. He didn't say, son, it's Sunday. Do you want to go to church with us, or you want to stay home and play your video games? He said, boy, you get up and you get in that church. And, you know, here's what he said sometimes. He said, son, now do you want to do right, or do you want to get my belt? I'm saved by the grace of God, but I want to tell you something. There's times that God has spoke to me, and he said, Joe Holcomb, do you want to do right, or do you want me to move on you? Because you know the scripture says that he chastens those that he loves, and thank God he loves me enough not to let me be by myself. Amen. See, I'm not ashamed of following God, and here's what that means. Even when he chastens me. Even when he chastens me. You know what that does? That lets me know that I'm a Christian. Because if he didn't chasten me when I was wrong, would he care about me? You know, we're living in a time today to where people have to be, need to be, some of your friends, with love, with prayer, told the truth. Don't let them sit at home and quit on God without telling them they're not right with God. Don't let them go out in this world and experience the things in this world and say, well, everybody else is doing it. It must be all right. No, it's not all right. If God's put you in a place and you're the one that's there in front of them, maybe it's your lot, because the Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. Be a friend and love them enough to tell them the truth. Yeah. That's not popular today. But remember, I'm not ashamed. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Amen. I'm not ashamed to say that I believe. I believe. I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible, okay? Now, I'll tell you this much, and we're going to go right back to the Scripture. You know, the reason that I preach the way that I do is because I believe the Bible. But I want to tell you something else. I'm going to say this real quick and go right back to it. Common sense teaches you some things. Hello. I'm not ashamed to say that I believe that I was created by God in the image of God for the purpose of God. I'm not here to do whatever I want, to live however I want, and to succeed and get whatever I want. I am here for the honor and for the glory of God. That's why I'm on this earth. That's why every person's on this earth. The sooner we figure that out and try our best to follow Him, the happier we're going to be in life. You know why? Because what the devil wants you to do is take a counterfeit for what God has. That's why no matter what people have, without God, they're never satisfied. I'm not ashamed to say that I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Amen. You know, sometimes I have to realize I was raised in church, you know. I come to church before I could walk. And Jesus Christ was preached, He was taught, He was sung, He was lived. I saw people live their whole life serving Him. But we're in a society today that when you start talking about Jesus, you know what He is at best? A historical figure. And they have to look at it, and I've actually had some that go from not the standpoint of what the Word of God says, but what the Holy Spirit says, but they look at it in their own fashion in a form of apologetics. And here's what I mean. They compare Jesus to Muhammad. They compare Jesus to Buddha. They compare Jesus to other religious leaders. But I want to tell you something. The most intelligent people of this world who have studied, who have been willing to look at the facts, will understand that there's never been a man like Jesus Christ. There's never been a witness like Jesus. Christ. And if you study religion, it's the only religion of the world to where it's not about your works, but it's about His grace. Amen. Praise God for His grace. Amen. Now here's one. I've actually been mocked in Sunday school for saying this. I believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. I can remember, and you know, here's something that, now, I'm not saying that a preacher has a sixth sense, but he did say that after I leave, I'll send you the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He shall guide you and teach you in all things, right? And preacher will understand when he's preaching. They, some people, that when the Word of God hits them, it bounces back and it hits you and about knocks you down. They, some people, when you preach, and they, sometimes I've done this in churches. Now, y'all notice I'm moving back and forth. That means it's good over here, it's good over here. But there's been times that I've been preaching and I'd be in a church and I could come over here and I'd have liberty and I'd feel the Spirit of God and I'd come back over here and it'd like ice water. I'd forget about what I was about to say. I'd run back over here. There's times that I've been talking about the virgin birth and it was just like, I could feel it. People don't believe it. I want to tell you something, folks. If God can create man from nothing and breathe into his nostrils and man become a living soul, I want you to understand something. He can breathe on a little virgin girl and she can have a child in her that's the Holy Son of God. That's what God can do. If you don't believe that, how can you be saved? It's not about us or what we do. It's about Him. I'm not ashamed. Now, here's this one. I like this one. This goes right back to where we started. I'm not ashamed that I believe in the empty tomb. I believe when they come looking that morning, they were going to anoint with spices. Guess what? The stone was rolled away. And the angel said, well, He's not here. He's risen. You know, and here's the hope, here's the blessing, and here's the greatest miracle that you can pray for. You know, sometimes we pray for healing. Sometimes we pray for people to get a hold, God to get a hold of people. But the greatest miracle of all is that Jesus got up. And He said that because I live, you can live. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be. Because He lives, we can live. Like when He went over to get Lazarus up. He could do it. He knew He could do it. They said, why'd you wait? Your friend is sick. He said, I know. He said, I waited so all y'all could see what's coming. Now, that's not exact, but that's pretty close to Southern English. I want all of you to see what's coming. And he went over there and he said, roll that stone back. They said, well, by now he stinketh. I want to tell you something. We're going to get a new body.
Yes.
It's not going to hurt. It's not going to stink. It's not going to have pain. And here's the thing about the Spirit. We're not going to recognize because of our eyes. We're going to recognize because of the Spirit.
Yes.
My wife took a picture the other day of me and the grandkids. And I had been deer hunting. And I come in, and I had on old raggedy clothes, and I'd been scratching my hair. And I give myself a number two, so most of it's gone. And it was kind of sticking up over here and sticking up over here, and I was standing with him. She said, you look like an old homeless man. When I look at myself in the pictures, I say, who is that? Who is that guy? You know, when you see your loved ones, you're not going to see them as 20, you're not going to see them as 30, you're not going to see them as 40. You're going to recognize them as the loved one that you had, because the Spirit is going to be perfect when it speaks to them and shows them to you. See, I believe in the empty tomb. I believe we're going to be able to see them again. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I've been talking about that. And folks, I've been talking about this. I believe he's coming back. I believe he's coming back like he said. Psalms 119:6 says this, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Now, folks, I'm not standing up here saying I'm not ashamed because I'm a perfect Christian. I'm not. I have to pray. I have to ask God forgiveness. I say, Lord, help me. Help me with my speech, my thoughts, my tongue, everything that I do. But I want to tell you something. I'm not ashamed to say that I believe in God. I'm not ashamed to bow before him and surrender to him as king. Why? Because he is the Lord. You see, the evidence, the historical evidence for Jesus Christ is overwhelming. If you want to just study it and you don't even want to use the Bible, then okay, go read what the historical writers said about Christ. Read what the great political leaders of the world have said about Christ. You see, he is the great I Am, and he has no equal. He is the only God. And the scripture does say very plainly that every knee will bow to him. You see, I believe in him, and I'm not ashamed because I believe he is the creator. That's the song that was sung, and you know, here's what y'all don't know, but the timing got off in our service this morning. We come in and we had three or four songs and it just didn't work out. And then, you know, one was supposed to sing and another one. But you know what? God's in control.
Amen.
Amen. Timing was perfect. And the song that Brother John sang, it started talking about him, the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, the creator of everything that we have, everything that we see and understand. He made everything. He made man. He made the animals. He made the stars. And all the knowledge that you and I are experiencing and enjoying today, he gave it to us. It's amazing to me when I think about the last 100 years. We looked at the paperwork for Miss Shirley, and I believe she was born in 1939. The class of 57. I'm sitting there and I'm looking at that, and they had the class of 57. I'm thinking about that Statler brother song.
Yeah, amen.
Times have changed.
Yeah.
But when I start to think about it, and I think about what we've got here, these LED lights, these ceiling fans, this air condition, this place of worship, the knowledge and technology that you have in your pocket, it's not man. It's God allowing us to have it. Why didn't we have it 1,000 years ago? I'll tell you when I read your Bible. Because God's word says that in the last days many shall run to and fro and knowledge will be increased. We've not been on this earth existing as man in time for a little over 6,000 years and it happened this way for nothing. It's God showing us that things are getting lined up for leaving. I'm not ashamed to say that I believe it. You see, he is Lord, he is the only king, his word is true, and He is the ultimate authority. But you know, it's not just about rules. There's a saying that I've heard, and it speaks to us when we're raising children, when you're teaching Sunday school, when you're a youth leader, and when you're a pastor, that rules without relationship leads to rebellion. God has rules, and He has a standard, whether we like it or not. But He does something more than that. You see, I'm not ashamed because He is the Redeemer. You see, I was lost, and just like Brother Jimmy said, He looked for me. He's looking for somebody this morning. Amen. He sought me out. I was in trouble, and He helped me. I was guilty, and He pardoned me. I was going my own way, and He intercepted me with His love and His mercy. Took me in just as I am without one plea, but that His blood was shed for me. He loved me, and He pardoned me, and He said, all of this that you've done, all of these things, I'm going to forget about them. And I'm going to pour my grace over them, and I'm going to take my blood, and I'm going to cover these things, and I'm willing to take you and make you into something that you would never be able to be by yourself, and I'm going to take your life as little as it is, and I'm going to make it something that shines. You see, because He's the Redeemer. And I'm not ashamed to say He is my Savior. You know, I've talked to some people about Christ, and they say, I've actually had people tell me, I don't need saving. Everybody needs saving. Saved from what? How about yourself? You know, by myself, left alone, I would be an absolute mess. And that's what happens to people when they quit listening to God. And they get rebellious against Him, and they don't allow His Spirit to direct them. Now, folks, as a lost person, I was a mess, and He saved me. But as a Christian, you've got to pay attention. You can't keep going down your own way when God speaks to you. You better move, or you'll find yourself in a mess. I've seen people get up and preach and teach, and they quit paying attention. What did the Apostle Paul say? He said, I have to keep a watch on my body, lest after I have preached to others, I myself would become a castaway. See, Jesus the Lord, He's my Savior. He saved me. And sometimes now He has to intervene. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 says, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. John 2, 28, 1 John says, and now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. You know, the Scripture says that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See, I believe there's going to come a day when the whole world's going to bow. Now, you give thought to it for just a minute. If the Lord were to come right now, the eastern sky were to split, the trumpet were to blow, and we were to know that that's God. Here's what I want you to understand. We're not going to have to say, Brother Billy, you reckon that's Jesus? We're going to say, Brother Terry, you think the Lord might be coming back? You're not even going to have a lost person that lived next door to you come out and say, is that aliens or is God here? People are going to know. They're going to know it. And when they know it, they're going to fall on their knees and they're going to cry out. But here's what I'm going to be saying. It's Him. It's Him. He said He was coming. It's Him. I'm not going to be afraid because the mercy has been poured out on me and I have accepted it. Amen. Closing plea. Do you believe? Will you believe? Romans chapter 10, verse number 8 says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Matthew chapter 10, one more verse, 32 and 33 says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Now they're going to play a song. I am not ashamed of the gospel. If you're here this morning, God spoke to your heart, and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need to know him. You want to come down, we'll have somebody pray with you if you would like. We'll have ladies pray with the ladies and men with men. And young people, we've got somebody to pray with you as well. Maybe you want to come and just say, Lord, I just need some strength. There's something coming at us, church. You know that? There's something coming at us in the world. The devil doesn't like what's going on here. We're going to have things that are going to happen, and you know what we need more than any time ever is we need to come together as one body in love, in unity, and serve God, forgive one another, don't hold grudges, and lift one another up and help one another. If God's pointed something out in your life this morning that's not right, guess what? Now's time to do something about it. Ask if you would to rise to your feet. Maybe you just want to pray for somebody. Maybe somebody on your heart. If you know somebody that needs to get saved, folks, now's the time to get them in the house of God. If you'd like to pray as they play the song, would you please come?